Christian author Charles Swindoll once found himself with too many commitments in too few days, and it made him tense and nervous. As he wrote, "I was snapping at my wife and our children, choking down my food at mealtimes, and feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions throughout my day." As he wrote these thoughts in his book, Stress Fractures, he continued, "Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up lifestyle. I was becoming unbearable. I distinctly remember after supper one evening, the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something important that had happened to her at school that day. And she began hurriedly, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast.' Realizing her frustration, I answered, 'Honey, you don't have to tell me really fast. Say it slowly.'" And Swindoll wrote, "I'll never forget her answer when she said, 'Then listen slowly.'" I wonder how many of us have been in this situation on either side. Either the one who has something to say and the person you're trying to tell won't listen, or maybe you're the one who has somebody's trying to tell you something and you're too hurried and distracted to listen properly. I know that I've been on both sides of that equation. This Advent season, I thought I would do a series of sermons on gifts that we can give for Christmas. I got the idea from the myriad of catalogs, flyers, internet feeds, and TV commercials that tell me the things that I ought to buy, the gifts I ought to give, and I thought, well, I could do just as good. Only the gifts that I've been contemplating aren't gifts that we have to go somewhere and buy, but they may cost us something. But rest assured that if you can give these gifts, they may be among the best gifts you'll give this year. This week, I thought that I would suggest that you give the gift of listening. Now, maybe you haven't thought of listening as a gift, but it is. Take the little girl in my opening story. She had something important to say, and she had to insist that her father listen. And that is not an unusual problem. Parents are busy, and they don't often have time to listen to their kids, but I would dare say that kids are busy too, and they don't often listen to their parents. Same could be said for many of our relationships. We don't take the time or make the effort to really listen. So why not give the gift of really listening this Christmas? Now, it may not be as easy as it sounds. And maybe our starting point to consider this gift is to consider the story of Zechariah. I'll bet Zechariah learned to listen. He certainly learned how to be quiet the hard way. I feel sort of sorry for old Zechariah. Here he was going about his business in the temple when an angel of God appears to him and gives him a wonderful message. He was to become a father, and this is great news. Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth had no children, and they were well past the age of bearing children, so it shouldn't surprise us that Zechariah was a little caught off guard by the angel's announcement. And he responded to what really was to him an outlandish prediction with some level of misgiving. He heard what was said, but he didn't really listen. If he had, he would not have doubted the angel's news. And so to help him with his listening skills, the angel took away his voice so that he could no longer speak He could only listen to those around him. You know, being quiet may be the first and most important skill in good listening. Helen Shapiro, former director of spiritual formation at North Park Theological Seminary, told a story of listening in the Covenant Companion magazine. She wrote that during my morning lap swim, as I followed the rhythm of lift, breathe, and kick, the words came to me with utter clarity: be quiet. A few more laps and the words returned: be quiet. I had begun this, my swim that day remembering that I had a morning appointment with a student who very likely did not want to meet with me at all. Samantha sat in the back corner of the classroom. Often arriving late, she sat with her arms crossed and her manner radiating sincere hostility. Today, she would meet with me for our spiritual direction time to get together, not because she chose to, but because it was required to pass the class. Recalling this meeting with some dread, I again heard the words, "Be quiet." An hour later, I was sitting across from Samantha and decided to follow what seemed to be a clear instruction to say nothing. I simply admitted, "I really know nothing about you, Samantha. What's your story?" That's almost all I said for the next hour. Shapiro went on to tell how Samantha shared her story of growing up on the south side of Chicago, of her hardships as a child, and of her hardships of raising her own family. Samantha shared, too, about the gift of her faith and how her relationship with Jesus sustained her through all that had happened to her. When Shapiro told her that her time was nearly over, Samantha asked if she could pray. And after praying, Samantha said, "Well, that wasn't nearly as bad as I expected." Shapiro wrote about the experience. "I wondered how long it had been since she had told her story to someone. I knew that I felt honored and privileged to be her listener that morning." Listening is a gift that the world is longing to receive. Listening strengthens the bonds between people and helps groups to move forward in their work. At the Presbytery Clergy Retreat last month, a pastor told a story about a church that was deeply divided. It's divided over the issues that are dividing many Presbyterian churches these days, but then rather than split over the issue, the members of the church sat down in small groups for listening sessions. They shared a meal, and around the table they told how they felt about these divisive issues and why they felt that way. After several of these informal gatherings, the spirit of the church changed dramatically. While there were still steep divides over these issues, the members found places of common ground and were able to move forward in caring for each other and their community. The threatened split did not happen, but instead was replaced with a deeper awareness of the hopes and fears and dreams that each other had. As one member told the pastor, "I don't have to get my way. I only need to know that I was heard." Powerful, isn't it? Although I don't know for sure, I wonder if that church was following the instructions the Apostle James wrote in his letter: "Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." Healthy words for the church and for each of us. As the Greek philosopher Epictetus once said, "Nature gave us one tongue and two ears so we could hear twice as much as we speak." You know, good listening requires patience and concentration. Impatient listening is only waiting for a chance to speak, but patient listening is concentrating on what the other person is saying. Perhaps our attention was divided when the other person started to speak, or that we think we know where the other person is going and already start to formulate a response. Christian writer Janet Dunn writes, "Unfortunately, many of us are too preoccupied with ourselves when we listen. Instead of concentrating on what is being said, we are busy deciding what to say in response or rejecting the other person's point of view." And that's often true, isn't it? Good listening requires concentration and means that we are in with both ears and that we hear the other person out until they're done speaking. You know, rarely will the speaker begin with what's most important and deepest. We need to hear the whole thought, all the way to the caboose, before starting across the tracks. Good listening silences the smartphone. It doesn't stop the story. It focuses on what's being said by the speaker, and it takes energy. It takes energy to block out the distractions that keep bombarding us while someone else is sharing a story with us. It takes patience not only to be quick to hear, but to keep on hearing. Listening requires that we avoid getting agitated, especially when we disagree with what the speaker is saying. If we are truly going to listen to what the speaker has to say to us, we need to set aside our counter-arguments and our desire to prove the speaker wrong and instead try to understand and hear what the speaker is trying to, the point that speaker is trying to make. Finally, good listening asks perceptive questions, open-ended questions that don't tee up yes or no answers. Good questions don't interrogate the speaker or pry into details the speaker doesn't want to share, but gently draws them out and helps point the speaker to fresh perspectives through careful but genuine questions. Of course, Jesus was the master of questioning. In the Gospel of Matthew records over 100 questions asked by Jesus. Think about that. All those people coming up to tell Jesus something, Jesus most often responds by asking a question. Good listening is a gift. And as you're thinking what to give Aunt Mabel or your cousin Fred, you might consider a gift of listening. You might think of someone in your family or someone here at the church or someone you work with who has a story to tell, a fear to share, a joy to celebrate. And then give them the gift of the time and effort to listen to that story, to understand that fear, to share that joy. You know, I suppose Zechariah, in all those months of not being able to say anything, heard a lot. But I would guess most of all, in all that, he was listening for God. And maybe in our listening, we'll hear God as well. Amen.